For the way in which you lift our spirits and you help us truly to worship God and to give thanks to God, our Lord, who is truly, truly great. And it's really wonderful for me to get to be here with you all once again, to be with those of you who are in the sanctuary and to be with those who watch us online and who will see us on the screen sometime this week. As I loved listening to the worship band, I've also enjoyed so much getting to know Jace, your intern, better, and to see his leadership in the worship and the community. And it was wonderful for me, for Jewel, to read the scripture today, because I've known Jewel's family her whole life. And so it makes me feel young again just to be here with you as you're part of leading worship with us today. The last time I was here with you was in Advent. It was during the Blue Christmas time when we thought about that. And all of a sudden, it's Eastertide and it's Ascension Day. And next Sunday will be Pentecost, and we'll switch from white to red and the flames of fire as we celebrate what Pentecost is all about. Whew. The earth turns so fast, the days go so fast, and these last several Sundays here in the congregation, week by week, you have been considering, why pray? Why pray? And after what happened this week in Texas with the shooting of the children in the classroom and their teachers, we know why we pray. And we know this week we are praying harder than ever and more for God's comfort, for the care of the Holy Spirit, for the way in which healing and wholeness can happen after such a horrible tragedy. This morning, before I came to worship, I was able to see on television pictures and the faces of all of the children in the classroom and their teachers, one by one. And as I wept, I knew why we pray and why we pray the Lord's Prayer, because indeed these weeks we have been week by week considering different parts of the Lord's Prayer. Now, I've been worshiping at the other campus, at the Hollywood campus, but we have been following the same movement in the Lord's Prayer that you have been following. And the truth is that every single word in the Lord's Prayer is saturated with meaning. Each portion reflects major themes from Jesus' life and ministry. Each part of it is intended to help us shape our lives, and through us, to help shape and change the world. So today's reflection is really about those final lines in the prayer, a doxology, really. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But before I say something specifically about those verses, I need to share a few other things personally. Most of the time, we pray this prayer out loud in the congregation. And we pause kind of phrase by phrase as we pray it. But when I attend meetings of the World Council of Churches, mostly when I attend meetings in Switzerland, we pray out loud together, just like we do here. But there are people from all over the world present, and we all pray in our own language. So as you see the pictures that I have brought to share, we are from all over the world praying the Lord's Prayer in our individual languages. And it's like Pentecost. It's like Pentecost already, because you can hear all the languages from around the world. And as I pray, I don't pray as loud as I do when we're in church, but I pray softly, and I can hear all the other languages all around me. And I believe that when we lift our prayers to God, whether it is this special prayer or any other prayer, that God hears our prayers and God pours out the blessings of the Holy Spirit on each and every one of us. And even though we may pray corporately out loud on Sunday mornings, I suggest that at other times we go to a quiet place alone, whether we're at home or outside in nature. And it's good for us to practice praying the Lord's Prayer out loud, privately. Now, sometimes it's difficult to know how to pray. And so what I used to say to people was, when all else fails, follow the directions. And it's wonderful that we have the Lord's Prayer in front of us. I'll invite you to pick up your card for a minute. As we write words of caring on these cards to send to the people at the First United Methodist Church in Texas where the shooting happened, let us ourselves see this prayer. Let's read it out loud together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, it stops there. It stops there. But we go on from there. And when you are praying, wherever you are praying, simply follow the directions. Be persistent. Praying is hard work, but your prayers are heard by God. And your prayers are heard by God even when you don't know what to say. Because when it comes to addressing the divine, we're all amateurs. We may be professionals in one way or another of our lives, but when it comes to praying to God, we're all amateurs. But for now, let's focus for just a few moments on the doxology itself, on these final blessed words, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I want to say just a little bit about each of those three pieces, about kingdom and power and glory. For me, the kingdom of God is a kingdom, K-I-N, because it's about all of us being family. It is about being a part of the family of Christ the King. I think of it in a very, very special way. I was an only child growing up, so every night at dinner, it was my parents, my father and mother and me, at the dinner table at 6 o'clock, and my father offered the blessing and the prayer at the dinner table, and after dinner and our sharing, my mother would wash dishes and I would dry dishes, or if my mother had a meeting at church, I would wash dishes and my father would dry the dishes, and we had our family time at the table and our prayer time. But when I married my husband, Jeff, was the oldest of seven children. So when I went to their dinner table, and he was the oldest of seven children, and we went to their family farm on Thanksgiving or Christmas, the first question was, do we need to put an extra leaf in the table? Do we need to make the table bigger so everybody will fit? Is the table big enough? And as the years went by, those younger brothers and sisters grew up, got married, had children, and year by year, there were more and more of us at the table. One year, there were 32 of us at the table. And last fall, I had 55 of them in my tiny little home. And we couldn't sit around a table. We just had to spread all over the little home. But the whole point is, there's an old hymn, maybe the worship band can find it someday, an old hymn called Plenty Good Room in My Father's Kingdom. So choose your seat and sit down. Plenty good room in my Father's kingdom. And my point is, for Jesus, the table is open. For thine is the kingdom means there is room for all at Jesus' table. There is room for all. And we are invited to extend radical hospitality all around the table and to make another leaf in the table. For thine is the kingdom, and Christ the King has room at the table. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Now, this is a funny little picture showing the power of love, because I really had to make it out of a funny little thing that my husband made for me on Valentine's Day one time when he wrote that he loved me in a heart. So I had to play around with it to try to make it like this for you all today. But for me, the power of God is the power of love. The power of God is the power of love. We are Easter people. We are people of the resurrection. We recognize the power of love that happened in the crucifixion and how it became a victory. Jesus was saying, those of you who would save their lives will lose them, and those of you who lose their lives for my sake in the gospel will save them. And as we have here in this scripture, greater love has no one than this, that you would lay down your life for one another. The victory is not a victory of the sword, but it is a victory of the broken bread. We are a people of a risen Lord who broke bread with his friends after he rose from the dead. And he would say to them and to us, take and eat, for this is my body given for you and for many. It is given for all. It is the victory and the power of the incarnation itself. Because by becoming fully present with us through Jesus, God has established an ultimately and a perfect inclusive reality. And that is the hope of the world. Reinhold Niebuhr, a theologian, used to say it this way. If God is love, with love as God's power, then it follows that sometimes God gains victories through pain and self-giving rather than by force. And this past week, we saw the pain of death and sorrow. But we knew that the power of love will ultimately be victorious even over that. We knew that there was a night in May, one time several hundred years ago, when the founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, went unwillingly to a prayer meeting on Aldersgate Street. And while he was there at that prayer meeting, he had an experience of profound grace. He felt God's salvation in his life fully for the first time. Now, it's true that in the years to come, he would need the spiritual assurance that God would give him from time to time as he encountered pain and sin in the world. And he would need insurance of God's grace in his life, that would come to him in mercy when he encountered the pain and sin in his own self. Just as we all do, as we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But as we also know that the power of love can heal our broken world. And our Methodist DNA is to spend our lives becoming more perfect in love of God and of one another, of all our neighbors. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Ah, the glory. For thine is the glory. I know our worship band sings about the glory and sings glory to God and greatly to be praised. In a sense, God is the glory takes us back to the very beginning of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, asking God to use us to hallow the name of God. But I've always loved the expression, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. Jesus would say to us, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life is a life fully alive. Abundant comes from a Latin word, abundare. And it means to overflow, life overflowing. And the roots are in the word wave, like in the ocean. Our lives are like the rhythm of the waves in the ocean. So God has poured out abundance in Christ, and we are to receive the abundant love of Christ, the fullness of the love of Christ. We are to receive it, and we are to make room at the table of grace so that we can share that love with others. Make room to receive and to share. For us, the symbol of the chalice, of the cup, is central to our identity as Christian people. We are people who are known by our practice of gathering at the table, of lifting the bread, and of lifting the cup, of giving thanks to God, and of remembering that the cup is a sign of God's covenant with us. And when the cup is empty, its purpose is to be filled. And when the cup is full, the purpose is to empty it out. It gives what it receives. It receives so that it can pour out. It has something life-giving flowing through it. The glory of God is evident as we experience the pouring out of living waters, of life-giving, transforming waters of grace. And so, my friends, my sisters and family, my sisters and brothers in the family of God, when we pray, "Thine is the kingdom," we know that Christ the King sets the banquet table for all of us. When we pray, "God is the power," we know that the power of love will transform the world and will transform our lives, the greatest power in the world. And when we pray, "And the glory," yes, we know that the glory of God is a human being fully alive, overflowing with abundant life, pouring out God's grace. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen.